Strether's first question, when he reached the hotel, was about his friend. Yet, on his learning that Waymarsh was apparently not to arrive till evening, he was not wholly disconcerted. A telegram from him bespeaking a room, only if not noisy, reply paid, was produced for the inquirer at the office, so that the understanding they should meet at Chester rather than Liverpool remained to that extent sound. The same secret principle, however, that had prompted Strether not absolutely to desire Waymarsh's presence at the dock, that had led him thus to postpone for a few hours his enjoyment of it, now operated to make him feel he could still wait without disappointment. They would dine together at the worst, and with all respect to dear old Waymarsh, if not even for that matter to himself, there was little fear that in the sequel they shouldn't see enough of each other. The principle I have just mentioned as operating had been, with the most newly disembarked of the two men, wholly instinctive, the fruit of a sharp sense that, delightful as it would be to find himself looking, after so much separation, into his comrade's face, his business would be a trifle bungled should he simply arrange for this countenance to present itself to the nearing steamer as the first note of Europe. Mixed with everything was the apprehension already on Strether's part that it would at best throughout prove the note of Europe in quite a sufficient degree.